Hello and happy holidays. Thanks for tuning in to Affirmative Action. I'm your host, Antoinette Grajeda. Well, we did it. We finally made it to the end of the year, and what a year it was. 2020 was difficult for a number of reasons for so many people, and I think most of us are glad to see it go. The dawning of a new year comes with the hope that something better is just around the corner, and that's what we're going to focus on today, hope. Even though 2020 has had plenty of bad, many folks have still managed to find the good. We're going to share the stories of two Arkansans today. The first is Chris Kennedy. He's a food blogger living in North Little Rock with his family who loves cuisine and the holidays. This year, as in years past, he has decorated his front yard for Christmas. Included in the display is a large inflatable Black Santa. Unlike years past, Chris received an anonymous racist note about his decor. After reporting the incident to the police, the post office, and his property owners association, Chris and his family received support from their neighbors who put up their own Black Santas, an incident that has put them in the national spotlight. I'll let Chris take the story from here.
My dad used to decorate more of the rich neighborhoods when I was growing up, and him and my mom were actually like never together. So on his visitation days, he would often take me and my sister around and my half sister and show us the work that he had been doing all week. And I mean, when I say they were the well-off neighborhood, like elaborate things, crazy lighting and things like that. So that was one of the joys of childhood, was getting to go see the stuff that he had done whenever, you know, I got time with him. And then Thanksgiving Day 2004, he passed away from pancreatic cancer. So for me, I was actually at home cooking, because cooking is one of my passions. I was actually at home cooking. I was bouncing back and forth between my grandmother's house and my aunt's house because they were going down to the hospital and everything. So I was cooking dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, at two different houses because we thought that he was going to get out of the hospital that day, and he actually passed away. So I started decorating early that particular Christmas. By early, our family didn't really put up a Christmas tree until at least December 1st. But from then on, I started putting it up as early as I could in November. After my wife and I got married, we started decorating early. We don't do Halloween, so traditionally our tree goes up on Halloween night, and from then on it's just been that way. With the yard decorations, we had our daughter 4 years ago, and she was in the NICU for a week, and my wife also had to stay in the hospital for a week. So I wanted to do something special for both of them and put lights on our house. And I was able to find a little 4 foot tall Black Santa. He looked, you know, just as tall as like the little elf inflatables. I put that up and she loved it. When we moved to North Little Rock, you know, I wanted to get a bigger one every year. So when we first moved to North Little Rock 3 years ago, I was able to actually find a 8 foot tall Santa. And so I've been putting out, you know, they've all been at least 8 feet tall since then. The 8 foot tall one, the motor died this year. Motor actually died a couple of days. Like a day and a half, 2 days before I got this, this letter in the mail. So, you know, it's something that I've done and haven't had any kind of backlash about it. Usually there's actually a lot of compliments because we do decorate early. Like I said, you know, November 1st is when we decorate the inside of the house. And then by November 7th, the yard decorations are out. So, yes, I do love the holidays. I love everything about it. It's a time for family. It's a time for joy. Kids get to spend so much time with their family, with their friends. It's traditionally is when you get out of school and have the most time out of school outside of the summer. It's a great time for everybody.
I know that some large department stores like Macy's have people of different backgrounds, different ethnicities come play Santa Claus. So I've been familiar with that. And I know I've been familiar with Black Santa. I haven't seen too many decorations. So I was excited to see yours and learn more about it. What is the importance of having a Santa that looks like you?
So you mentioned big department stores. Macy's is one of the few, not Macy's, Dillard's. Because I know Dillard's, we don't have a Macy's here in Arkansas. So, you know, you don't get to see that. But Dillard's has tons of Black Santa decorations. If they have a white one, they generally have a black one. As far as us seeing, first finding an inflatable Black Santa is nearly impossible. It's very hard. You have to do a lot of work. But the importance of it for us is that our daughter is able to see herself represented in everything from fictional characters to actual real life heroes. Like we have over when I know for me and my wife, when we were growing up, children's books, I don't know that there were very many children's books that had Black characters in them. And our daughter gets to grow up reading books written by Black people with Black characters in them. At this point, we have about 45 children's books with Black characters. So it's very important for us that she see herself represented, because we want her to know that the sky's the limit as far as she goes. We don't want her to think she's limited by race or anything. We grew up in a smaller town. Diversity wasn't always pushed or anything like that. As a matter of fact, our graduating class of 400, there were 20 Black people. There's a lot more Hispanics, but you know, there's 20 Black people. So we've grown up being an extreme minority, but we moved to this neighborhood in North Little Rock because there is so much diversity. The elementary school down the street has great teachers. That's another reason why we moved over here. We have a set of neighbors across the street. They're Black. You know, we have gay and lesbian couples peppered throughout the neighborhood. So it's a very diverse area and we love it. But it's definitely important for us to raise her, seeing herself represented in everything. We're now working on trying to find an inflatable Mrs. Claus that's Black. Because that's as hard as it is to find Black Santa, it's even harder to find Mrs. Claus.
Where were you able to find your big 8-foot one? Was it like online on Amazon or something, or where?
Yes. So the funny thing is I found it online through a company called the Ugly Sweater Company. I found it online through them, and they have that one, and then their alternative to Black Santa was a Trump Claus. Like, it was a Trump Santa Claus, which is actually very hilarious, but also, you know, it's one of the frustrations that we've had over the years with looking for the Christmas decorations is I can literally find regular Santa doing everything from, you know, camping, military, all sorts of stuff, and I can barely find a Black Santa that's just standing there. But we can find aliens, and you can literally find Santa as everything but Black. Like, it's really hard to find. So,
well, congratulations on finding one, and best of luck finding a Mrs. Claus. I'll be excited to see a picture of that once that happens, because that'll be such an adorable setup.
Like, when I say we've been looking forward, like, it has been a quest for 4 years. We're in this Facebook group called Black Santa Directory, and this lady actually showed how she took just a regular Santa Claus and was able to paint it to be Black, So after Christmas, when things go down to, you know, 50% and everything, that's when we're going to buy one and try to experiment with it and everything.
That's a good idea. I love that. Yeah. The holidays are a joyful season, and I think decorations and things help add to that joy. So it was a little surprising and disappointing this year that you got kind of a hateful note. But what's been joyful and reassuring, I think, is the way your neighbors have reacted. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the positive things that they've done since that letter came?
Absolutely. So they're calling them solidarity Santas. And a lot of people have been able to find them online. This year has actually been a year where Santa Claus was more plentiful, but we are now sold out in Central Arkansas of Black Santas. I was able to actually go to Lowe's and get one off the shelf. So, you know, that's a major improvement. A lot of neighbors have put them out on their yards. And it's been pretty cool, largely because most of the people that have put them out, I've never met. We literally have never met most of the people that have put them out. Our friend Gavin happens to live in the neighborhood, and he and his family put them out. So they're probably the only people that we've physically ever met that put one out. But it's been great. All of the notes and letters and cards that we've gotten, we've had treats delivered. There is a artist over in Little Rock, because, you know, North Little Rock and Little Rock, some people don't know that they're separate towns. There's an artist over in Little Rock that painted us a Black Santa, and it's an amazing painting. And then the art teacher at the elementary school down the street, she also painted us one. So now we have Black Santa artwork, and they're both amazing. So it's been great. The sense of community that is definitely prevalent here after, you know, this year being so contentious and down racial lines, and even here we had, you know, our mayor's race, it kind of went along some racial lines and it had its ugly moments. I just so happen to have also been very active politically this year. We've been protesting, and working with different campaigns and that kind of thing. So even getting the letter, I didn't really necessarily assume that it was about Santa being Black himself, because, you know, we've done it for 3 years. I actually thought it was more so political based, because when you fly a Black Lives Matter flag outside of your house for 8-9 months, that's where your head naturally goes, you know. So that's pretty much where we've been with it, but the neighborhood has been great.
I understand you've been asking people if they want to show solidarity to make donations to the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Arkansas. Any particular reason why that organization?
So my wife is a pharmacist at Arkansas Children's here over in Little Rock. And I used to literally drive her to work, because working downtown, it made more sense for us to just take one car, daycare's down there, everything. So I passed by the Ronald McDonald House every day whenever we went to drop her off. And with all of the COVID restrictions where single parent, you know, only one parent is being allowed into the hospital. I actually had a friend whose kid was in the hospital. His wife was able to go in, and he was literally outside of the hospital, like videoing his son, like standing outside the window and things like that. So I knew that the McDonald House helped families that were having long-term stays. I literally did not know the extent of all of their work until after just randomly blurting it out. The reason why I even said donate money is because someone tried to send me like $300, and you know, I don't actually want money. Never wanted money. And so I was just like, okay, well, what's a place that I can get people to send money to. So let's help families out. $10 goes a long way with them because they 100% rely on donations. So through all of this, we have been able to get 250 nights sponsored for families to stay there, which is huge. The average stay for a kid receiving a transplant is like 3 months. So that's, you know, that's 90 days that a family would be away from home or having to travel and figure out, you know, all sorts of stuff. So, you know, we've turned this thing, this ugly thing, into something beautiful, by being able to help families be able to stay around each other during a pandemic, during the holiday season. You know, it's going to be the most difficult time of some of their lives. So that's what I wanted to do, because I really do love helping people.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad that you've been able to take something negative and turn it into a positive. What are your plans for the holidays? What are you going to be making? What are you going to be doing?
Literally, we already have a menu. We are doing a smoked brisket, homemade bacon, mac and cheese, potato salad, green beans, greens. We're going to do some homemade yeast rolls. The desserts, I'm not sure about, because I really don't eat desserts that often, but I'm thinking that we're gonna have at least one cheesecake and possibly a sweet potato pie or something. Fortunately for us, my in-laws live over in Little Rock, and we're around each other all the time, so we still get to do what we would normally do for Christmas and not expose each other to COVID and be safe. All seven of us get to get together and still enjoy time together as a family.
Well, that sounds lovely. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
If people want to donate to the Ronald McDonald House, or also alternative Arkansas Food Bank. There's definitely stuff I've been reading. People are expecting a shortage on food donations this year, so that would be a good alternative, is to donate to the food bank. Love everybody. Treat each other kindly. Speak up when things like this happen, because in general, my thought process is the reason why racism has existed for so long is because when it happens to people, no one says anything. So if you're the victim of it, if you witness it, speak up, stick up for each other. That's the only way that we're going to get rid of racism.
If you want to support Ronald McDonald House Charities of Arkansas, you can do so at rmhcarkansas.org. You can also read Chris's articles about Central Arkansas restaurants at rockcityeats.com. Speaking of food, let's head to the River Valley, where a Fort Smith woman is receiving national recognition for feeding the hungry in her community. Ms. Charlotte Tidwell, founder of Antioch for Youth and Family, has been giving food to those in need for more than 20 years. In 2020, her work has been honored in a number of ways. She received a key to the city of Fort Smith. Her smile was placed on bags of Lay's potato chips as part of their Everyday Smilers campaign. And most recently, L'Oreal Paris honored her with the Karen T. Fondue Impact Award for her tireless work in combating her hometown's hunger crisis. Ms. Charlotte is taking all the recognition in stride and with a humble heart.
I'm feeling I don't deserve the recognition. I'm quick to say that the wonderful, wonderful volunteers in Fort Smith have made this agency what it is today. We were just for Thanksgiving, we were just out at K. Rogers Park with 136 volunteers giving away 4,000 households that dinner, to be able to look at the vision, and then execute that. Such a marvelous place to be. In spite of, you know, what we're going through as the nation.
It's a good community. Were you born and raised in Fort Smith?
I was born and raised in Fort Smith. I've been here all my life. Now, my family left for a better life to the state of Kansas in 1963, but my mom decided that she'd leave me here with her aging parents. And I was about going into my senior year of high school. So then I went straight on into nursing school. And then I got married and I got to stay in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Why have you dedicated so much of your life to philanthropy and taking care of others? I know, you know, one of the biggest things you've been doing for the last over 20 years is Antioch Youth and Family, where you've been helping feed your community. But where does that drive to help others come from?
I always wanted to be a nurse, always. And it was just innate. It was in my career of nursing. You know, you're a helper, and it's just been a part of me. But I think what developed me with that spirit was the community I was raised in. My parents, my grandparents, my church, the Catholic school that I went to, the high school that I went to. It was during my early ages that just honed my innate spirit of being a helper.
And how long did you work in nursing?
Over 40 years. And I worked in the hospital environment, and I also worked in the long-term care environment, 11 of those years, looking at elderly in nursing homes and deciding with the company that recruited me, which was Beverly Enterprises. Now, how can their lives be better? How do we keep them independent? And so when I started Antioch, one of my goals was to get nutritious food to independent living seniors in those environments to keep them out of a nursing home situation. So everything I guess I've learned in the past has impacted what I do today.
How did hunger become sort of the focus of your philanthropy? Was that something that you dealt with growing up as a child?
Well, you know, there were 11 kids in the house that I was raised in, but we were never hungry. We were never. We had an acre garden right next to the house. We had my mom and dad raised chickens and pigs and a cow and that kind of thing. I think I don't really know exactly what catapulted me to hunger, except in the hospital situation and in the nursing home situation. I knew the ravages of being poor, and I connected that to a lack of good nutrition. And so I just happened upon feeding. I could, in my community of Fort Smith, I could see children that played with my children, and they'd come in the house and eat whatever I had cooked. I could see they appeared to be hungry. And so when I retired from a career of nursing, I just happened up on hunger. I mean, it was not a bright light. It was not a revelation from heaven. I just decided one day that I would feed people, not cook, but provide the provisions in their homes for healthy meals. I was accustomed to that, raised as a child. We got around a table. The whole family was at the table. It was very good food. And so it wasn't really anything cognitive. I just did it. I just did it.
For people that aren't familiar with Antioch, what are some of the services that you provide? Because you do quite a bit.
Yes. Yes. We have services through the court system, both for children and adults. And they do their community service in our building. With children, we also provide an air of competition. So with both of our high schools here, for the last 2 years, we put them in a competition with food. We're doing a Cooking Matters class with them. We connect financial literacy to that scope. And they've won state competitions, and we've sent them to national and international competitions. There is a health center in our building. And therefore, we provide an opportunity for them to eat the food, cook the food, be able to duplicate that service. But we also put the educational component into it, where they're able to get the food to their households, be able to, when mom and dad are not there, be able to cook it. So we have services available with our comprehensive juvenile services. We have services available with our court system, with our 3-acre garden. We have veteran drop-off programs. We go to the parks once a week, to our city parks, to deliver nutritious food in that area. And it's just a big educational component that goes along with food, both for adults and for children. And our senior complexes that we deliver to. So the school program, it's tons of programs that go out. Now, we have formed a coalition with Robert Woods Johnson Foundation in Fort Smith to look at. We did a research study with Urban Institute last fall because we were falling off of health and wellness and all of those components. So this year I made a call to Robert Woods Johnson Foundation, where we actually are able to build a coalition in Sebastian County. So that's a big deal for us. And then we put into place mental health, physical health, our med school in Fort Smith, our college in Fort Smith, the police department with domestic violence or home disturbance problems. We put food in the back, non-perishable food. They're able to leave it at particular homes. So we've got tons of programs going, tons of them.
Oh, that's so many. Do you have any idea about how many people you serve or how many families?
We're doing over 35,000 people a month now. That has grown since COVID in March. Those programs have grown significantly. And with bringing in organizations like hospitals, mental health, those organizations, then we can put a collaborative program in place. We are able to extend the services for the entire county. We're able to extend those services and get everybody on board with building our community.
A big part of that group effort are volunteers. Do you know how many volunteers you have?
For 21 years, we've operated Antioch out of a full volunteer cadre. So we had, for instance, when we did Thanksgiving in the park, we had 136 volunteers on the ground to be able to assist those families. So Antioch has always moved forward with the 21 years. We don't have money to pay anyone. So that'll be volunteers. And for instance, we take students out of the classroom to assist us. We have two classes at our med school that will be moving with the educational component of what we need to do, the interviewing, the gathering of data. The police department is with us building that avenue of community policing.
If people want to get involved and help, what's the best way to do that? Can they volunteer? Can they donate food? Like what are some avenues for them?
Any of the above. They can volunteer, they can donate food. We have 580 plus year olds in the building that come in and help bag and those kinds of activities that they can do. They can call 479-459-0669, and we'll put them in the volunteer pool and be able to utilize their services. We're excited about that. In the coalition that we're building, it has four tiers. And the last tier, there is the professional, there is the paraprofessional, and then there's the community volunteer in the building that actually ad hoc are able around their working schedules to be able to be of assistance. And it is a train the trainer teacher program where each level of the four tiers can train the next tier, can train the next tier, so that the messaging and the branding that we put out is coherent.
Will you be doing anything special or specific for Christmas or the holiday season?
Yes, we will. We've already started with packaging for our veterans and our seniors for Christmas. And then we'll see closer as we get to that. Now, the month of December, we will be in the Martin Luther King Park with fruits, vegetables, and protein. So that'll be on a weekly basis. And I think we're like there on the 21st or the 22nd of December. But the whole month of December, for the 4 weeks in December, we will be at the park with a drive-through distributing food.
It's been a hard year for a lot of people. And you've seen that, I think, as you've mentioned, with an increase of the community reaching out for your services. And you've been doing this for a long time. How do you continue to stay positive and committed to service, even in the midst of so many people struggling?
Somebody has to be positive. Somebody has to be dedicated. And somebody has to believe that collective action works. And I stay positive because of the positive volunteers. You know, I can put out a call, we're at the park, we're probably going to do 4,000 or 5,000 households, and the community responds to that. So I think the positivity doesn't just lie with me, but, you know, I was born in an area and in a time that considered being focused on what you do was a level of success. And so it's just ingrained in how you're raised. It's just ingrained on how you're raised.
Well, what advice would you have for someone that would like to be more of an optimist or be more of a positive thinker like you? Perhaps they didn't have that upbringing. It wasn't ingrained in them. You know, what advice would you have for them to learn to think more that way?
That is my focus with children. My focus with children is that you can achieve anything that you set your mind to achieving. I was just talking to an advanced practice nurse yesterday that lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she was saying, you know, Charlotte, I got this feeling that I need to do something with food in our community. I think once you get the feeling, you just need to act on it, you know, and that all of the encumbrances that are in your way, you just plow through it. One element of communication I have with children through the court system: nobody can define for you who you are. Even through your mistakes, you can rise above those. I believe that. And so with children from the court system who comes from just terrible, terrible experiences in their lifetime, they still can be successful in what they do. And those children will leave finishing, I got to teach them how to work. They will finish their experiences because of their relationships of elderly people thanking them, smiling at them, hugging them, well, before COVID. They will leave those experiences saying to me, that really made me feel good. I believe that everyone has an opportunity to do what I've done. There is no stopgaps. If we just teach each other that anything can be achieved, I will help you achieve it. Now, the help of someone else is critical. I will help you achieve anything that you wish to achieve. I'm a believer.
Good. We need more believers. I think for a lot of people, they look up to you and you're a bit of a role model, whether or not you think you're deserving of it. But for you, who are your role models? Who are the people that you look up to or looked up to growing up?
First of all, my family, my mom, my dad, my grandparents, the church that I was raised in, and the two schools. I went through Catholic school grades 1 through 8. My Catholic teacher is still living. And the all-Black high school that I went through, they pushed us to excellence and they pushed us to knowing that nothing can stop us in what we need to achieve. But it started at home, church, school, and we were just motivated in that regard.
With that motivation, where is that going to take you in 2021? What are you looking forward to next year? I know we've been talking about 2020 a lot, and I think everybody's done with 2020. So what are you looking forward to next year and beyond?
Next year and beyond, we're going to finish building the coalition for the county, a workable coalition that has expertise and knowledge in their given areas, join together, because I don't think we're going to be finished with COVID in 2021. So building capacity from the standpoint of just not physical health, but also mental health, the issues of transportation in our area, the issues of incarceration. We want to see that we have made all of those areas in some regard better and keep pushing toward excellence. You know, I tell people we can do anything. It's possible. If I'd have known when I was in healthcare that I'd be doing what I'm doing today, I didn't have that vision at that time. I was career-oriented, raising children, being a mom, being a career person. But the community doesn't need to sit down. And I was raised with people that did do what I do every day, 80 and 90 years old. So there's no rest for any of us while there are still things to be done.
More information about Ms. Charlotte's ongoing work is available at antiochyouthfamily.org. Thank you again both to Charlotte Tidwell and Chris Kennedy for sharing a little bit of joy and hope with us. Well, that's it for us this year. That's our final episode of 2020, but don't worry, we'll be back next month with an all-new show. Until then, you can catch up on previous episodes at our website, argotsoul.com/affirmativeaction. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Thank you again for listening. Producing this podcast has been a bright spot for me this year, and I hope we've brought you a little bit of peace, joy, or comfort as well. Until next time, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and have a Happy New Year.